from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Happy Monday afternoon, and a bright, sunny winter hasn't been here, and I hope stays away, January. And I'm Robin. On the other end of the table is my co-host, Cliff. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
No, pretty good, even though it's afternoon, but who cares?
Oh, that's... We've been doing this for almost a year in the afternoon. I still don't remember the fact that it's not morning anymore. God.
Oh, actually, well, we're coming up on our two-year anniversary of doing this program, and I want to thank all of our listeners, both live and on the archives, for making it what it is. We're almost to 30,000 downloads or listens to this program, and although we'd like to do better, but we're not complaining. That's pretty good, and again, thank you for everybody for checking us out.
Time does fly, doesn't it, when you're having fun?
Oh, absolutely. And if anybody wants to hire Cliff and I for doing this professionally, we'd love to do it.
As a matter of fact, yes. Lots of things going on.
Cliff has been doing it most of his life and as a professional radio personality, and I know him, so that makes me qualified.
There you go. Well, you're just as qualified at this point. 2 years of doing a radio show, that's got to be enough to qualify you, for heaven's sake. That's about as professional as you get.
That's true. But anyways, before we get into a bunch of other stuff, we have, like Cliff started to say before I rudely interrupted him, we have a lot to talk about and there's a lot of stuff going on. But first, we'd like to invite you to participate in the program by dialing 646-721-9887. You can follow us right now, or you can contribute right now in our chat room at Blog Talk Radio. Also, we are trying once again the Twitter experiment, and this time I do have it up and running properly. So if you want to participate in Twitter, you can do that at krbnradio.com. And if you're listening to the program on the archives and you would like to have a contribute to the program or have something to add to it, you can follow us on Facebook or send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. But right now, we would really prefer that you give us a call, 646-721-9887, because we like talking.
I don't know. Have you got something to start with?
I could start by getting the commercial out of the way.
We could do that. I just thought we'd start with the Internet. We've got information about the Internet. So let's do the commercial, and then we'll talk about the Internet. Interesting.
All right, yeah, because we got a lot of really good topics to talk about. We'll get to the commercial in just a moment. We're going to talk about changes in the naming of the Internet, the GOP. And also, would you sell your neighbors out for $1,000? We'll get back to this right after that.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yes, they're individually made and wrapped, and they're available in the select locations in Lane County and online at www.dancingdogcookies.com. And Cliff, put that cookie down. I told you that word.
I'm sorry, my mouth was full. I couldn't talk. Eating cookies. So, anyway,
yeah,
lots of things.
Every time we get samples. Go ahead, Cliff.
I wanted to talk about the Internet because this is something I found really interesting. The Internet has really not done anything, and I guess ICANN is what I'm talking about more than just the Internet. It's the controlling body of the Internet, and they haven't changed much of anything. They've added some TLDs, which top-level domains, over the years, not too many of those. Some people have asked for certain TLDs, and ICANN has said no. Basically, they've given them such delightful names as AK or FR or AS or gov.gov, or there is a .eu. That could stand for Europe. And they have one, a cat, .cat, but that's for the country of Catalan, not for cat owners. But basically, they've kept them fairly simple. But now they're opening it up, and they're gonna let people like Pepsi and Ford and whomever open it up and buy their domain. In other words, you could have Ford at .ford, or Pepsi at .pepsi, or whatever it wants to be. For the measly little pittance of $185,000, you can buy one for yourself. Now, all you do is come up with $185,000 and then apply for it. I guess that doesn't mean you get it right away, because there's got to be some control over it. You don't want to have somebody who has nothing to do with Coke buying .coke. That could be a real problem, I guess. Why have we got a – oh, that's not my – wondered why somebody was calling me, but it wasn't me. Got it. That I'm hearing. So anyway, that's what I wanted to talk about, is the fact that there's for example, the latest thing they did was open up .xxxx, and in 9 months they've got 250,000 websites on it already, and that went since April. So they get, this is a big business, it really is, but it's a way for the ICANN, I guess, to make some money. They haven't had much of any way to make money up until this point. But boy, this should make some big money for them. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, $185,000 is a lot of money, and so I don't know how many people are going to actually buy these things. But we'll listen and look and see what comes up.
How much would
be interesting? $185,000.
$185,000. Probably won't have too many domain sitters like what happened originally. You know, where somebody would go ahead and open a domain and. If you're a legitimate company and wanted that domain, well, then you'd have to, you know, buy that domain from somebody else. So I don't see too much of that happening this time around.
No, it's probably not going to be quite as lucrative as it was when you could buy it for like $12 or something. So a big difference. There's no doubt about that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with it. But I thought that's the biggest news I've heard, I think, in the Internet business in a long time is that one. But that comes to us, and that just happened. Basically, it's just now taking place and going to – I don't know if it's actually happened yet, but they're talking about it. And I'm trying to read here and see if it has actually they've actually opened it up yet, or they're just making it available. Actually, it does. It opens Thursday. Thursday is when it starts. Thursday, anybody will be able to register any website suffix for $185,000.
So, if anybody would like to donate $185,000, we'll register .KRBN Radio, and
that would be fun. Make it $186,000, and then we can pay for the postage.
That's true. Or give us that much money, and we'll look into actually getting linked up with Terrestrial and expanding our reach into our world domination of talk radio.
I'll tell you what. You send me $185,000, and you won't ever have to hear from me again. I'll go to Mexico or something and live. $185,000 just... Well, I don't know if that's enough money to do that. Pretty close.
And you wonder why people don't donate when they click that donate button.
Donate button isn't even on there anymore. But anyway.
we do have a price, you know. Despite numerous requests to go away. If you want to pay us, we'll think about it.
Yeah, really. I tell you. There's a lot of things going on.
I don't know if I really like... I mean, I kind of like the current convention where... You know, a company website is .com, government is .gov, et cetera. And, you know, overseas companies, you know, they're .whatever, like UK or whatever. So it kind of more signified where it is you're connecting to. So I don't know if I got mixed feelings about that. You know, go to Ford.Ford. I like Ford.com.
Well, see, the interesting part is the .coms and .govs and all of those don't mean anything anyway, because they never did really do anything about making you stick to that. Cliff.org has nothing to do with an organization. It's just a website that I was available, and I decided to register it. So I've got Cliff.org. I've also got CliffWilson.com. So, and I've got, you know, a couple of places that I picked up .orgs because they were just, the .com wasn't available, and I wanted that particular website. So they really never said that you had to stick with any particular thing. I don't think, the only reason I didn't go after a .tv or a .radio, because those are available, is because they were so much more expensive. I went for the least expensive one I could get a hold of. And right now, the least expensive one, believe it or not, is .us.
Yeah. Would you think .us would be reserved for government? I know .gov is government.
Now, .gov, they do, however, basically control that. They don't let anybody have the .gov. You do have to have some affiliation with the government, but it can be pretty loosely affiliated with the government to get that one even. So it's hard to say. They haven't been real close about fixing those. You know, you could get a lot of the country codes real easy, but the country itself could actually control how to do that. So, but a lot of the country codes you could get that real easy. That's how the TV and the radio thing came about. But anyway, anytime something happens with the internet, it would like to keep up with it a little bit and let people know.
Absolutely. You got other stuff on your docket too.
Oh, yes. A couple of things that are going on. For one thing, we've got the Consumer Electronics show coming up very shortly. And the CES, if you want to, because I think probably more people know about it as that. That's been a real important thing in years gone by, and I've gone to a couple of them and really, really, really enjoyed them. But I guess as time is going on, it's not what it used to be. The new big things, there isn't anything real earth-shattering in the technological industry at the moment. The big flat-screen TVs are here. We've got them. Everybody has them by now. Smartphones are about the biggest thing, and there's not a whole lot of running around and screaming and hollering and yelling about what's happening there. Apple, by the way, has ignored the CES show for years. Microsoft is talking about this being their last show, Las Vegas CES show that they're going to do. So something's going to have to come about to make something different. I don't know what's happening this year. I don't see anything going on that's of significant importance that should make everybody want to go there. Now, it is possible there could be something coming up, but the big players, Microsoft, Apple, they're, I guess, doing their own thing. I don't know what it's going to be. Microsoft is coming out with Microsoft 8 very shortly. We'll see what that does. I don't think it's going to be much. It's just going to be a revision of 7. But who knows until we get there and see it.
A lot of those sneaky little things that Microsoft is doing. I mean, imagine this little scenario. I doubt this would really happen, but you know, we trust, a lot of people trust Microsoft by allowing Microsoft access to their computers by that automatic update button. Now, let's just say, like, this goes back to the old thing about it's kind of an IT joke that when you're working for a company, you have the computer set up to check payroll to make sure that you are still employed. And when it doesn't see you anymore, then it goes ahead and runs a routine like sending a penny or, you know, something like that into your bank account. So imagine if all these Microsoft operating systems are set up that when they no longer see Bill Gates, they crash, just stop. Imagine the global implications of that.
that's almost like the things that happened on the year 2000 when we made the big change, and people were so worried that computers weren't going to be able to change over to the year 2000. The only real major one that I ever heard that was a real major problem was the Coca-Cola company, and they did have an instance where when the year change happened, the computers thought that the Coke in the certain vats was, you know, 10 years old or 100 years old or whatever it was, and so it emptied the vats. So they did lose thousands or millions of dollars in Coca-Cola, syrup in the process. So that was the only major big problem that I heard about in the year 2000 debacle. I'm sure there were probably others that I didn't hear about.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I apologize. I'm going through a whole bunch of notes.
Well, the only other thing that we went through at the radio station that I was working at, interestingly enough, the program we had was really old, and it didn't make any difference what it went through, and it just kept on firing, never had any problem at all, just did its thing and just had no sweat, and it didn't even pay any attention to what year it was. It was going to do the same thing every year, regardless of what year it was, so it just did it, had it over with. I know one company that, or one radio station, they had a problem with it because they were using a program that was so old that they were putting in a year that, you know, like 1971, that was the same as the year that they were in, and using it anyway. And so when the computer things changed, that did change, and they did have to go back and change some of their statements because they all went out with the wrong month on them and this and that and the other. But it didn't take that much to fix everything. I didn't see any real – and, of course, they were talking about that was going to happen for months and months and months before it happened. So everybody was trying to get everything prepared. And I know an awful lot of people bought new programs and bought updates for their operating systems in order to fix that. And, of course, Microsoft itself was sending out all kinds of updates and fixes to take care of it. So I think mostly a lot of people did actually take advantage of the stuff that was available and did take heed to the fact that it was going to happen. So I don't know if this is something that could happen again or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, admittedly, when I was programming back before the turn of the century, I was lazy as well and only used a two-digit date field, because I didn't think about what happens when 19 becomes 20. And just on the other hand, if more people that are living past 100, what happens, because usually birthdays are a two-digit field, what happens, you know, if you're 103, well, they put your age down. Well, I'm sorry, you can't apply for a driver's license. You're 3 years old.
Really?
Well, I want to touch on a few things, a couple hot topics out there. First of all, and give the numbers out again, 646-721-9887. You can join us in the chat room. If you have a guest account, unfortunately, as a guest, Blog Talk currently does not let you comment in the chat room, which I still think is a failing, and every chance I get, I bug them about it. However, we are trying this week we are trying Twitter again, so you can comment on the Twitter account, which is KRBN Radio. You know, go to Twitter, KRBN Radio. And apparently this came out in 2009, but I became apprised of it today, and I guess it's still going on, but it brings up a lot of privacy concerns and how you feel about that. So I got a short little audio here I'm going to play, because I'll get your input on here in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Mayor Cory Booker, and I, like so many in our city, are just saying enough. We have had a significant reduction in shootings in our city, but it is still too many. There are a small group of people in our city that think they can walk around with guns. It is unacceptable. And we can't just wish this will stop. We can't just hope this will stop. We as individuals have to do something about it. So we have a program in our city right now that's completely anonymous, and we will give you cash.
I love technical issues. Mm-hmm.
$1,000 to anyone who calls our anonymous tip line give us the information about who is carrying the gun. If we don't even have to have a conviction, we arrest that individual and simply get that gun off the streets. You call back, get your second group of digits, go to a bank or send somebody to a bank, and they will give you $1,000 in cash, no question asked. This is the best program in the country. A quick $1,000. If you know somebody carrying an illegal gun, give us the information and get the money. $1,000.
Okay, $1,000 to turn in your neighbor if you suspect them having an illegal weapon. How do you feel about that?
That's kind of a scary thing, this turn in your neighbor. That's, you know, everybody's spying on everybody at this particular point. And I'm not sure if I really really like that or not. It has its problems. I would be thinking that there's an awful lot of things that were more important to worry about in the state of Oregon and specifically in the city of Portland than people unlawfully carrying guns. What is the percentage of population of people being killed with an unregistered gun? Actually, I'd be interested in what's the difference between the people being killed with an unregistered gun and with a registered gun. It'd be interesting to know the statistics on that, for that matter.
Yes, is your gun licensed to kill people?
Well, you know, that's what guns are for. I don't care what you think. There is no reason to have a gun. I don't know how many people. There may be 1/10 of 1% of our population that goes out and actually goes hunting and illegally kills animals with the gun. 99% of the people carrying a gun, it's to kill people. That's, like it or not, that's what it's for, and that's what people use it for. And whether it's registered or non-registered, that's what it's going to get used for. And I'm not at all for... I'm sort of... It's hard to say.
If people are wondering, this is actually a real announcement from the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. And you can see it on YouTube. The YouTube date was 2009, but apparently it's come up and has resurfaced again. But it brings up an interesting question, though, about, you know... A government wanting to turn in turn in your neighbor because you suspect that they have illegal weapons.
Well, this whole turn in your neighbor thing is really bad. I'm not all for that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't if you happen to see your neighbor doing something blatantly illegal, but to be carrying an illegal and probably concealed weapon, that is illegal, but you've got to really look hard to find that out. You've got to be really, delving into someone else's private life in order to find that out, I would think.
Yeah, but the thing is, where does it stop from there? I mean, it starts off with turning them in for illegal weapons, and it sets up a precedent. Then what, are you going to turn them in if their plates are expired or if the neighbor is urinating in his backyard or whatever, and you're going to get a reward for spying on your neighbor? I mean, where does it stop?
Actually, I don't think there's any law against urinating in your backyard, to be honest with you. I'm not even sure if there's a law against urinating on a city sidewalk, to be honest with you, depending on the city. Probably a lot of them don't have any law against that. In the first place, nudity I don't find is a problem. If somebody wants to run around with no clothes on, that's their problem, and I find it a real problem. I don't have to look at them if I don't want to, and if I can, I can stare at them. I don't care. But the point is, when somebody's carrying a gun and aiming at you and firing it, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't opt out of that. You can't opt not to look or not to be in front of the bullet.
Government's don't shoot list.
Yeah, really.
Like right. No, but you know, my point is, though, and I was just using urinating as a vague example, but it could be anything. We all do something that, our last show about 40,000 new laws that's passed. You can't follow a law without breaking another law. But my point is that if there's a reward system put together that you can get paid for spying on your neighbor and for turning them in, I mean, is that the type of is that the type of environment that you want?
You know, isn't that what communism was all about? So wasn't that part of that? Aren't there some governments that have failed miserably because they were doing things like that, turning the neighbor against a neighbor? I just don't think we need that in this country. We've got a lot bigger problems than that to worry about in our time. And who's paying this $1,000 anyway, by the way? And what are they getting out of it? Is the city paying for it? I find that a problem. I bet that city has lots of other ways they could spend their money than doing that. There's no return on your money. We got this business of just giving money away has got to be looked at more than once, because I think it's a real major problem. Our cities, our governments need to have some way of getting some sort of a return. We've got to worry about how we're spending all this money. That's just not a way I think that we should be doing it. Maybe there's a government grant for it.
If they're concerned about all of that, it's just like what's going on locally in Eugene, for example, where crime rate is on the rise, but yet we keep cutting the police. I mean, if we had our law enforcement at the levels that they should be, and there's a formula for that, I don't think we'd have to worry too much about having reward programs for turning in your neighbors for breaking the law.
Well, you know, that's the thing. We just keep adding things. This business of the crime rate going up. Actually, I believe that you'll find that the crime rate started going up when the ability to do anything about it started going away. And that's the we don't have the money to put people in jail. We don't have the money to keep the jails open. And so, you know, I know in the city that I'm in, Cottage Grove, they actually had to find a way to take care of it on their own because they couldn't send the people to the county. There's some major problems as to how things are taking place and where the money is being spent. And we need to change how much is being spent on what. One of the things I think we don't need is that, you know, what is it, two-thirds of the state is held in abeyance by the federal government. You can't buy, can't sell. The timber that's on that land can't be cleaned and cleared and sold. Our hands are tied so tightly because of the federal laws and the federal amount of land that's being held. And the federal government doesn't need that land. They don't need that land. We, you know, if we want to keep it as a park, let's designate it as a park. But don't just designate it as federal land to keep it out of everybody's hands. That's ridiculous. And the federal government is already poor enough. They don't need to hang on to something that they don't need.
So that goes back to your point, though. It's like this $1,000 reward. Where are they getting the money from? Oh, that's right, from us.
Oh, yeah, ultimately it is, I'm sure. That's a little, you know, and what if I decided I don't want to give that money to the person who's spying on somebody else or spying on the neighbors? Did they ask us?
That no, they didn't.
Now we get back to, again, I'm going to harp on my business about laws and a five-year rule. Laws should all expire after 5 years, period. Because there are some stupid, pretty stupid laws like that one. I don't know if that was a law or just a situation, but it should all expire after 5 years. We should have the ability to reinstate those laws if we want to by voting on them, but if not, we just don't vote on them and they go away. And there's so many laws. I mean, it would cost us thousands of dollars at first, or maybe even millions of dollars, just to get rid of the damn laws. But once we've done it, it will save us billions of dollars. So that's the thing we have to do, is we have to find out how to get rid of an awful lot of these laws and a lot of the regulations that are being kept on. And we 40,000 laws and regulations. That's just insane, just absolutely insane.
Well, that's what happens when you hire a bunch of people whose only job is to make laws. This is what they're going to do, their job. They're going to make laws, assuming that they actually read the laws that they put into place. And like we've been promoting on this program, the 20th Amendment is to, you know, when you make a law, you need to be sure that you're also under the law that you make. Otherwise, you know, if I was making law and it didn't apply to me, I could make a whole bunch of stupid laws. I could make a law where everybody has to wear bunny ears in public.
You know, it's been a while since we actually mentioned what the 28th Amendment is. I want to read this for you again, because I think I don't know that it's ever going to happen, but I would really like to see people get behind it and make it, because it's an all-encompassing. Congress shall make no law that applies to the citizens of the United States that does not apply equally to senators and representatives. And Congress shall make no law that applies to senators and representatives that does not apply equally to the citizens of the United States. That's one of the things that's been in the news recently about all of the people in Congress who do all of this insider trading and et cetera, but they can do it legally. Now, that's only 435 people that are allowed to do that. That's 435 people too many. In my opinion.
Yeah, it sent Martha Stewart to jail, but it didn't send Nancy Pelosi to jail.
Right, and they should have sent
her. Go ahead. Well, I wanted to touch on one other thing, too, before we swap topics again here, is about the turning in your neighborhood. Something I've noticed coming back, as many of you know, that I'm a truck driver for a living, and you see a lot of things. And one of the things that I'm seeing, as far as same thing, turning in your neighborhood, I'm seeing a bunch of new cameras going up and down the freeway, and some of them, they have a very weird configuration to them, you know, not just like your traffic cameras you're used to seeing along the road that the DOT and the radio stations use, or the cameras above the traffic lights themselves, which control the traffic lights. These are cameras with some really weird antennas to them, and I'm seeing them in rest areas, and I'm seeing them just showing up randomly along the streets. Along the freeways, and again, just like turning in your neighbors for $1,000, I mean, we're constantly being spied on. Who's behind those cameras, and what are they watching us for?
Well, a lot of those cameras, I will have to admit, there are an awful lot of those cameras that are on the highways that are put up there by Department of Transportation. They want to see places where the high accident areas, so they can see if something happened. If there's an accident there, they can have a little more idea of how to take care of it. They want to see weather problems. I mean, I know a lot of the cameras. I'm not familiar with the mountain passes in Oregon, but going across the mountain passes in Washington, there are many, many cameras up there, and most of them are to watch the weather and the traffic patterns as far as, you know, bad areas for traffic accidents.
Right.
Cameras have been
These are done at the weather stations. You know, I see those along the road, too. They actually have – you can actually see the sensors and other stuff that that monitor temperatures, wind, and everything else, including the traffic cams, but these are not traffic cams.
Well, you know,
you don't know who's behind the camera, who's watching you. Now, I know by law that if you're out in public, that you are given consent to be filmed, because, you know, when you're out in public, your privacy kind of goes away because you're out in public. And
That's an interesting one that's come up a couple of times with these traffic cams that are taking pictures of you inside your car. Do you not have a right to privacy inside your car? Well, I think possibly you should put that to rest right away. The car is, for Christ's sakes, all the way around it. It's solid glass. No, you have no right to privacy inside your car. You don't even have the right to – you never have had, cops going up on Lover's Lane and pounding on windows while you're in the back seat. That's a kind of a, you know, if you had the right to privacy, they wouldn't be able to do that. And they've done that since day one. So in your car, you have no right to privacy. So you're right. Once they've gone outside and relinquished that right to privacy, there can be cameras anywhere. Cameras are not the world's cheapest thing to put up even today. They're a lot cheaper than they were. So I don't think it's going to be, you know, Joe Blow, citizen putting cameras outside to take pictures of you alongside the highways and things like that. I would have rather imagined that somewhere along the line there's some logical information gathering experience behind that other than just spying on you.
Well, like I say, we don't know who who or what is behind those cameras and what they are there for. And again, you're hoping that they are just zooming in on the public. Some of them, like there's one, two of them on Ferry Street Bridge in Eugene that are remote controlled with a high zoom on it. And they could very easily, you know, zoom into somebody's apartment building, which is illegal. You can shoot the apartment building, but you can't go in. You can't look through the windows.
Yeah, yeah.
But well, you don't know. Who regulates it? That's my point. And
well,
and like
I don't. I would assume. I think that's a federal law. So
I don't know. But again, it just gets back down to, you know, neighbor spying on neighbor thing again, and just the concept of that. I mean, there's. Even one of the companies I used to work for had a turn in your fellow employee program. If you saw something that they were violating the rules, you could make $50.
Yeah.
Now, of course,
yeah.
As far as the rest of us were concerned, is that, yeah, you go ahead and make that $50, but you are going to be on our shit list for a very long time. You'll be a very lonely person.
Of course, you know, who knows why the individual companies are doing that. And individual companies can opt to make mistakes like that, and then they may realize later that it has been a big mistake. That can really make a mess out of your company morale real quick, I would imagine.
Well, anyways, I want to put a shout-out out there. If people listening to the program live or on the archives, if you think what the mayor of New York, New Jersey is doing is a good idea, send us an email or comment on our Facebook page. Email talk@caribbeanradio.com and give us your opinion on that. If you agree with the mayor or if you think it's a bad idea, we'd be interested in hearing about it. Even if you're listening to the program on the archives, you know, send us an email or go to our Facebook page, Caribbean Radio, and let us know what you think about that.
Do you have any idea how big that city is and how long that mayor has been mayor?
No, I don't have any stats on it at the moment.
It would be real interesting to check into that, because I would get the impression that mayor is a very misguided and listening to some really wrong people in coming up with that kind of an answer or solution to his problem. I don't know. That's a scary one as far as I'm concerned. I would not condone that at all in any way, shape, or form.
Well, like I said, that you know, like with anything with the government, once it gets started, like for example, the BNT, National Safety Transportation Board, is trying to work to ban all electronic devices in your vehicle that was not factory installed. And that means not to just mention hands-free headsets for your cell phone, but also means iPods, GPSs, anything else that was not factory installed. And fortunately, the NTSB can only make recommendations, but other states, like, for example, California just recently passed a law that, and I agree kind of on this, that if you're 18 years or younger, you can't use any electronic devices at all. I mean, well, the only reason why I kind of agree with it, because they're still learning how to drive. But as far as...
I would have to disagree with that, because maybe they're just learning how to drive, but their reflexes and speed of checking themselves is so much faster than ours. You know, I disagree that the difference between 18 and 21 or 16 and 18 is going to make a heck of a lot of difference. It just really doesn't. What I guess is going to make the difference is how our a generation, the parents of those people, is bringing them up, and that's not going to stop it at age 16 or 18 or whatever. So I think we're looking at the wrong thing. You can't look at that age group. I mean, you do look at that age group for some things, and they are learning how. But that's what we were. That's, I mean, they've taken away the ability to just let people go and pass the test. They've gone way overboard at how much they have to spend on learning how to drive, and yet they still won't give them the same benefits that anybody else has. So I find a real problem in that, you know, punitive action against that younger group of people.
Where I was going with this was not so much the age of it, but a lot of communities, including in Oregon, have passed bills that prohibit the use of handheld cell phones, but currently hands-free is okay. But as you know, that once a law gets put in, like seatbelt law or whatever, which was not, at least in Oregon, was not originally set up as a primary cause to get you pulled over, and now it is, that once they get something started, they take it to the next extreme. So in California, like I said, 18 and under, no hands-free, no nothing. Okay, so somebody's going to say, hey, this is working out so good. Let's go ahead and make that a law for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I could just see that happening. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I use my cell phone hands-free on a daily basis. It's necessary for my job and the fact that I'm away from my family for 14 hours a day. And I can, of course, I've been using all types of radio communication devices ever since I was like 15 years old. But, you know, I can walk and chew gum at the same time. But the point is that I don't want somebody saying, hey, you can't use your phone at all while you're out on the road, because then what's next? You're going to eliminate CBs, you're going to eliminate business radio, you're going to eliminate, I mean, in our nanny society, you know, how much more of our freedoms and rights are we going to lose? Because once the little law gets put in, you know, people are brainwashed and think, oh yeah, it's a good idea, let's take it to the next step.
Well, I'm sorry, I get real upset. I'd much rather spend a lot of my time putting laws and rules and regulations against booze and driving, any kind of way of controlling how much you've had to drink. I want prohibition back again. I think booze has killed a whole lot more people than telephones while you're driving.
Yeah, but the only thing booze did, or prohibition did, is that it just opened up a new industry.
No, it didn't. We opened up the industry when we got rid of prohibition. It just changed the industry. It actually kept things down. I mean, it didn't make booze go away entirely, and you're never going to do that at this particular point, just as you've not made any kind of a drug go away entirely because of the fact it's illegal. You haven't made guns go away entirely when they're illegal. You can't do that. You can't control people that exclusively and that completely. But you can certainly make it a lot more difficult and make people think about it a lot more. At least people are thinking about it a lot more if they have to worry about every time they go out on the street of being picked up because of their drinking. And I know there is a limit to what you can do, but you can have a couple of drinks now and it's okay. And nobody knows exactly what the limit is because for each person it's different. So, you know, I just feel that there's no reason, no real technical reason to have people be allowed to drink. That's not something they absolutely have to do. It's not something they have to do for their health. In almost every instance, drinking is not good for your health. It's bad for your health. So it just doesn't make any sense to allow it to happen. We've stopped smoking. Smoking is no worse than drinking if it is as bad. So we seem to have taken the opportunity to supposedly end smoking everywhere, including in your car or and outside. We've got laws now that has ended smoking everywhere. We need to, you know, spill that over into drinking as well.
Yeah, I can agree with that, definitely. Cliff, you want to give out the numbers?
Telephone number right now. Give us a call and let us know what you think. You've got to have an opinion on what's going on. But give us a call and let us know. And do it on the phone. Don't tweet us or anything else. It's 646-721-9887. Again, 646-721-9887. We'd like to hear you in person, hear your actual, you know, dulcet tones speaking to us and yelling at us and telling us we're wrong or right or whatever. You know, you can call and agree with us too, but I just assume you'd call and tell me how far off base I am, because I know I'm not. I'm right. You're wrong. Simple as that. So 646-721-9887. And again, a lot of people are listening to the archives, listening to these programs after they're already recorded, and they've downloaded them and listened to them on their player while it's coming down. any way you want to look at it. But you can get a hold of us even after the fact, talk@krbnradio.com. That's the number, or the address, if you wish. talk@krbnradio.com. I even forget it myself. talk@krbnradio.com. Give us a buzz at that. And you can ask questions. You can tell us what you think of us. Anything you want to do at that. It's easy. And I don't know about the Twitter and the rest of those. How do you get a hold of us on those there?
On the Twitter, you can go to twitter.com/KRBN Radio. And on the chat room right now is blogtalkradio.com/KRBN.
Oh, by the way, I have both chat rooms open, so you can contact us on either one of them. I'm here and watching both of them, so if you've got something to say,
the other chat room is krbnradio.com. We have our own chat room that does not require any type of username, sign up, or nothing. You just come in. Well, it does require a username, but you come in and say, what name would you like to be representative? Oh, I'm Joe Blow. Okay, great. Welcome to the chat room. And that's it.
All you do is go on krbn.radio.com over on the left-hand side in the menu. There's a place where you can click on chat, and that'll bring the chat room up. And you can say anything you want to there, and we can answer back. Or actually, what I do is you know, can say whatever you want to. We'll answer you back on the air. I'm not real quick at typing, so if you could just take it off the air and listen to us, obviously you're listening or you wouldn't be there.
That's right. So anyways, we're begging. We had some pretty good callers last week from Texas and Minnesota, I think, was the other one, but really good callers last week. And if you've never called a talk show before, now's a good time to do it. It's real simple. Just dial the number 646-721-9887, and you get a little jingle from Blog Talk, push 1 to join us, and it's so simple. I wanted to touch on one other thing here. We got 42 minutes remaining in the program. Now, Cliff and I, we have varying opposing opinions on this one, and I want to talk about a little bit about illegal immigration and what President Obama recently did to kind of make the path to citizenship a little bit easier under the guise of aiming to keep families intact. Now, his proposal would benefit U.S. citizens who are married or have children who are illegal aliens. Basically, it would make it, it reduces the time that it would take them to reapply or to apply for citizenship, narrowing it down to about a 3-year period instead of 5 to 10 years. But in a sense, to me, that would be still cutting in line that some people that have gone through the process to apply. But also, in a sense, you're still kind of rewarding the people for violating the law in the first place.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, this whole thing is a moot point because it's because of him and other people like him that we have all of these rules and regulations and these laws and things that make people want to come to this country. If once we take away the incentives that everybody has for being here, including being able to be employed, even albeit, you know, they're not being paid as much as other people in this country are being paid, but they're still being paid more than they would be being paid in their own country. If we were to take that away from them and not allow, you know, we need to enforce the laws that we've got. We aren't doing that. We aren't enforcing the laws that we have. We also are, you know, I understand it's kind of a bad point. How do you decide to let's say, be nasty to the poor little children? But, you know, they didn't ask to come here, but the same token, their parents didn't ask to come here either, and they're the ones that brought them. Excuse me. God, don't know about that. But anyway, we've got to do something about the incentives that they have to get here. We've got to work on how to stop the incentives, and that will stop the people from coming in. Between that and drugs, that's the other problem we have across the border is the huge trafficking in drugs. Like, what did we see? We found a big tunnel, very well made tunnel with air conditioning and everything recently, not too long ago. And that had to do with the drug field as much as anything else. But we got to be able to take care of that. I don't know. I mean, getting into the candidates for the Republican, the GOP candidates, Rick Perry keeps talking about, you know, putting up fences and putting, you know, feet on the ground and blocking the border. I don't know if we can actually do that. You know, there's just so many ways and so many types of ways that they can get in. I don't know if we can really do that. The only way I can think of doing is bringing back all of the people that we have in foreign countries, our military, and putting the whole military on the border. We could do it that way if we put we probably got 200,000, 300,000 people overseas at this point.
They're saying the fence is interfering with the migration of a brown bear.
Well,
So that'll be the reason why we won't do it. The other thing is that they're saying that we're at a 40-year low as far as people crossing the borders and stuff now. And if that's really the case, now's a good time to do something about it. You know, it's like having a water leak. You know, when the tank starts getting lower, now there's less pressure on the hose, and you can maybe put a Band-Aid on it or something. Or better yet, change the hose out. But Cliff is right. You need to take away the carrot and by enforcing the laws. And the thing about the kids, now the kids are the victims. The parents are the ones who, in my opinion, should at the very least be charged with child abuse. Because, you know, if a U.S. citizen did what these kids did, these parents and these kids, they'd be put in jail in a heartbeat. Because these parents have knowingly put these kids into a life that's going to be very, very difficult for them. Again, we as a society and as a government.
Let's spend the money on schools and things and I guess you'd say different organizations to take care of the kids. Take the kids away from the parents, send the parents home, keep the kids here and take care of them. That's fine. Or if the kids want to go home with the parents, that's fine too. But let's separate them. I'm sorry. It isn't the greatest idea, but it's better than you know, supporting 10 million people. We'll only be supporting like 2 or 3 million people instead. So let's do something about it. But that's not my problem at this particular point. Our particular point at this point, a problem at this point is the economy. That's why
here's what I want to throw at you real quick. Okay. Let's say your neighbor, we're going to have a fictitious neighbor called the Joneses. Let's say he's got 8 kids to support, and he goes ahead and breaks into, let's say, a Home Depot or robs a McDonald's. Okay, he gets caught and arrested. Now he's, you know, caught, arrested, tried, convicted, etc. Now he's going to be separated from his family. Now, to do the argument that he didn't know the consequences of performing those crimes doesn't fly. Like they say, even so, the law is no excuse. Okay, but he may argue that I need to feed my family and you're going to separate me from my family. Well, I mean, my heart bleeds, but he chose, knowing full well the consequences for his actions, to go ahead and perform those crimes. What's the difference of somebody crossing international borders into another country and setting up a life here and knowing full well that they may get caught and sent home one day? And yes, they will be separated from their families. What is actually the difference between those two examples?
In my opinion, there is absolutely no difference. We should separate them from the families and do the same thing with the children that we would do with the burglar in Lowe's and send him to jail or back to, whether it's sending him to jail or back to the country of origin. We can take care of the kids. We can do it with our own kids. We can do it with any kids at this particular point. There is a way to do it, and there is a system to do it, and we should, again, do it. We just sit on our butts and do nothing and except complain. But my point is the reason of that 40-year low in the amount of people coming across the border is because there are no jobs. There is no money. We've got a problem in this country that is going to take the whole country down, not just the people who are here illegally. And if we don't do something about that, the whole thing is a moot point. So we've got to do something about creating jobs. We've got to do something about getting rid of the debt that we have. We've got to do something about the monetary system. We're destroying our dollar, the value of our dollar. And now people are talking about the fact that maybe it's China that's doing that, because China is playing around and holding their dollar fake, keeping it at a certain point when it's not supposed to be there. They're doing that illegally. Well, there is nothing illegal. China can do anything it wants to do, and there's nothing legally we can do about that. We can yell and scream and holler and go to the United Nations. The United Nations can't do anything about it either. We've got to adjust our dollar. We've got to adjust our system so that we can be competitive. And how you do that, I don't know. I don't care. Let's put it that way. I can reel off a bunch of ways of doing that. I don't believe tariffs and things are it, but we can find ways of adjusting what our goods and services and products go for so that they're competitive on the open market, whether it be China or Pakistan or India or any of these other places that are keeping things artificially low. And I think China is the biggest problem at the moment. So we've got to address that. And, you know, the fact that we're a bigger source of revenue for China than China is for us. So they've got more to lose than we do. So if we do something about it, they're going to take up and sit up and take notice. And they're not going to just sit back and ignore.
What does that have to do with Obama making a path to citizenship a lot easier?
The fact that you were talking about how many people, that the number of people coming across the border is down, that's true. It's not exactly on your subject. Sorry.
That's all right. I'll forgive you this time.
Yeah, I get carried away, and because we go to all different directions and all different places, and you've got to start at the beginning, and we don't start at the beginning. Nobody's talking about the beginning. The beginning right now, to be honest with you, is we've got to get a new president elected. We've got to get a new Congress. We've got to get a new Senate and a new House elected so that things can change. Everything's at a stagnant point right now. The president is doing things illegally just because nobody will let him do it legally. They won't pay any attention to him anymore, and that's probably good, because I don't think the man has an ounce of sense in his head at this particular point. But I don't believe we should allow him just to go out and do things illegally just because he's getting stopped from doing them legally.
Well, have you heard anybody at all on the talk shows, on the news, or anywhere say that Obama's doing a good job?
Oh, yes. Oh, unfortunately, I've heard a lot of people saying that Obama's doing a good job. A lot of people really think they believe what he says when he says, and mind you, he doesn't say the House or the Senate. He calls it Congress. Congress is a combination basically of both, supposedly. But the Senate's being left out of everything entirely. I don't know how. You know, I would think that people in the Senate would be very upset at what's going on, but they don't seem to be. The people at the House of Representatives, part of those are definitely Democrats. They don't care. But we've got to change who is in there, and this election coming up is going to be the thing that's going to be doing it. So pay attention. KRBNradio.com, go there and take a look. There's lots of places on there that you can click and find out more information about any part of the election and when the election is and the next debate. I mean, I'm trying to keep you totally up to date as what's going on in this particular. This is probably the most important election in anybody's lifetime, for that matter, right now, because we are on the very brink of destroying the entire economy of this country. And that can be dangerous, not just for us, but for the whole world. But the whole world is on the same brink, by the way.
That's right. And Cliff teases me a lot because I haven't had the time to really watch the debate. So I finally watched one of the debates, and I have a lot of mixed feelings on it. This was the Iowa debate, and it was interesting that I'm trying to remember who the two hosts was. One was George.
Was that George Stephanopoulos or not?
Yeah, that was George Stephanopoulos. Who was the other one? Was that Leslie Shaw or somebody like that?
Okay.
Anyways, they would ask a question of the panel. And by the time they got around to the third person, they started asking different questions. It's kind of like the way this program goes. It starts at one thing, and there is often somebody else, somewhere else. But not everybody got an equal or even close to an equal stance to address the question. Michelle Bachmann, for example, was practically ignored during the whole thing. She finally dropped out of the race, apparently. But it was like ABC News was sitting there going, okay, we only consider you two the most serious candidates, so we're the ones that we're going to ask questions of most, in my opinion.
Well, interestingly enough, in the latest one that ABC did, they were even more blatant about that than they were in the first one. In the latest one, however, George Stephanopoulos really decided he wanted to control what was going on, and so he asked questions that really had nothing to do with absolutely anything. And I will have to give Governor Romney credit. He actually asked him, I mean, he shot him down really bad and said, why are you asking this? Nobody's asking this. We aren't even talking about this. We don't really care about this. And Stephanopoulos really didn't have an answer. I think it was, again, the ABC people have to be given a big fat F as far as being able to do these debates because they didn't do a good job of it. They were talking, you know, what he asked about was gay marriage and abortion. Now, we're not saying it's not a subject to be interested in, but this is not what we've been talking about. Economy is jobs and things like that are what's being discussed at the moment. That's what everybody's worried about right now, not something else. And the ABC doesn't seem to know how to do these things. I don't know if they've not got the right people up there asking the questions, or somewhere along the line they don't have the right people researching what's going on and what's taking place, and they want to be a part of the program, but they don't know how to do that, and so they need to change people up in their front office as to who's coming up with these ideas and find somebody who knows what's happening. Other companies, CNN and Fox, both do an excellent job of these debates. And I will have to say NBC, of all people, because they've been pretty much in the background lately, but NBC did a Meet the Press type debate that I will have to admit the host, again, wanted to try to control things. And you can only control things to a certain extent with these people on stage. These people that are running for office in the GOP at the moment are really practiced at this. They're really good at this. And they're not going to take crap from anybody. And that's good, as far as I'm concerned. When they get something stupid brought up and something stupid asked, they'll bring it up and tell you how stupid it is. So I think that's good. We've got a good group of people up there, to be honest with you, and they know how to answer it, and they're doing it. I don't know as that makes them a good candidate for president necessarily, but at least it means that they can think on their feet and do actually come up with logical ideas, some of them, most of them, as a matter of fact. Most of them at this, again, at Romney and Newt and Mr. Gingrich both have been saying over and over again that everyone on the stage would do a better job than the current president, and I believe that at this particular point. Every single, including the couple of them that have dropped out at this point, any one of them would have been a better job at president than we've got now.
Well, and then, I mean, I'm looking at these debates, and I'm looking at the questions the moderators are bringing up. You know, I think I'd rather just have get them all in one room, all the candidates in one room, and just let it be a free-for-all and let them argue it out, bring up their own topics. Because the questions that these guys are asking are not the questions I really care about.
Well, you know, that might be a possibility. There are other debates, by the way. You can go online and see them and find them, where they're doing things differently than the ones that we see on national television. I do agree with you to a certain extent. I think this 60-second answer business needs to be fixed. You know, we need to change that, maybe make it 5 minutes or whatever. But basically, they're working out okay. But some of the others, they do give you more time. They have maybe one-on-one, two people talking to each other, and you can learn a lot about things. But I don't know that there's any major deficiencies in the system that we have right now. At least it gets us a lot more information than we had before. But you've got to find
I was going to say, I'd like to see him. Like I say, you get him in that room, get him going, let them yell at each other.
The problem with that is we have too much of that on television right now. They've got a program on Fox, for example, called The Five. You've got five people who have the ability to sit there and talk to each other and discuss things. All they do is all talk over the top of each other, and you don't understand a word that's being said. I disagree with that. If we could have one-on-one, just two people there, and then make it apparent to them that only one can talk at a time and they can trade back and forth. But this business of letting, you got six people up on the stage now, or six or seven, and you have them all talking at once, you wouldn't be able to understand what's going on.
Well, you make a good point there.
By the way, everybody,
I apologize for the delay. I was reading a headline. How do you like this headline? Slain youth shot after cracking joke. Well, slain means already been shot, but apparently, according to this headline, they were shot again. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, headlines sometimes do get rather silly, let me tell you. But that's just the way it goes again. But that's, again, this back to the forum thing, the candidates saying ABC screwed it up again this last time, and they didn't do a good job of it. Even at the end of it, somebody said, what would you rather be doing tonight than being here? And there were, that's a kind of a silly and loaded question, and there were all kinds of answers. Somebody even said that they'd be watching college championship basketball game. Somebody corrected him and said that it was football, not basketball. Well, of course, that's not true. There is basketball on, and so people correcting the answers are just as wrong as the people making the answers. So, Ron Paul had the most, I think, legitimate answer. He says he'd rather be reading an economic textbook than being here. And he's the only one that wasn't mentioning sports. Everybody else would be doing some sort of a sporting thing.
Sports. I think we should put the candidates up on a program called The Weakest Link. There's a program called The Weakest Link where, anything's better than what they're doing now. During the one that I watched, the Iowa one, they said they even partnered with YouTube, or not with YouTube, with Yahoo, so to bring in questions. And only brought in one question from the people commenting on Yahoo. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's just, some of the questions that they ask and where they're going with it, it's just, it doesn't seem to be related to what's important to the country, in my opinion. But we're interviewing
Fox
these guys for a job. Let's ask them about the job.
Yeah, absolutely. But Fox News has been the best at doing that sort of a thing. They come up with the better questions, and they actually sit down ahead of time and they look at the questions that come in on YouTube, and you can come in on Twitter and Facebook, and they rate those as to how many for each particular question, and take the question that's asked the most, assuming that that's going to be the one that more of the country wants to know about, because that's what they ask. So I think they do a fairly good job of that. But, ABC, and that's what you're talking about, is this ABC program. They don't have the experience, obviously, somewhere. I don't know. They need to find somebody with the experience and hire him and get him in there to organize this. And if they're going to get in, because they're a major player as far as major networks is concerned, they should be doing it at least halfway correctly. But they're becoming the laughing stock, which is too bad, because in other programming they're doing very well since Disney bought them. But Disney's missing it here. I don't know why.
Well, who does? Maybe it's just changing the image, just like a good KGO,
Yeah, I want to mention, too, that we're having a big problem with a delay here, because we've got the digital thing showing up. Robin doesn't hear that it's her turn until 10 seconds afterwards, and vice versa.
That's all right. I'm so used to talking over Cliff anyways. Speaking of talking over, 646-721-9887. I want to get back to one of the earlier topics real quick, because I just found this news article when I was talking about the NTSB, National Transportation Safety Board, wanting to ban all electronic devices, and my example of California. Well, here's a law that just went into effect let's see if I can get the location of it. It's Des Moines, Iowa. Because of a child got ran over and killed in a school zone. They have changed the law, or at least it's a proposed law right now. I think it just, it's going into effect. And let me just read the, paraphrase it here. The proposed law includes stiffer penalties for violators and increased fines, jail, and prison time, depending on the level of violation. The law also seeks for bus cameras and a ban on use of all electronic devices in bus zones. All electronic devices. That could be the, your hands-free, your GPS, anything that's not included with your car. In fact, it, as vague as this is, that could even be your radio.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I'm afraid I'm you're not going to like my take on this because I'm all for it. I don't even think we're getting to the point that we actually have screens built into the dashboard of your car to do things. I think that should be against the law too. I don't think we should have any animated type things or any picture type things, anything where you can touch the screen and do something with it. That should all be off limits. That should be, if you're going to do that sort of thing, you can pull over the side of the road and do it and then pull back onto the road again, because we can't have people, you know, spending their time worrying about what they're touching and what they're controlling. And you're right, even the radios, especially nowadays, because, you know, it used to be you knew that the dial that changed the stations was at one place, that the button that changed the volume was at another place, and that's all they did. Now you've got so many buttons that one button does 10 different things, and you've got to look at a screen to know which thing your button is doing. And that's all of this electronic stuff has got to be pulled out of these cars. And, you know, nowadays, if you look at the commercials for cars, they're not selling cars. They're selling all the crap that's in the cars. They're selling all the different things that are in the cars. Very little of the commercials anymore have to do with what kind of gas mileage or what kind of power or anything like that the car has. It has to do with the radio, the television. You've got television in the front now as well as in the back. All of that needs to be pulled out. We need to get back to make driving, because you can't dilute that. You can't be doing four other things while you're driving. Driving is something that takes all of your attention, ready or not.
I agree. No, I agree with you 100%. And it's just like, you know, buying computers. You know, when I started programming, it's like I never thought I'd be looking at a computer for video and sound quality. But I do agree with you as far as the touch screen, because it takes your eyes off the road. You cannot feel what's going on like the older systems where, you know, you turn a knob or you hit a preset or something like that. But what scares me on a lot of this stuff is, like I say, all electronic devices. That's such a broad definition. You know, it could be, I mean, if you want to get down to all electronic devices, that could be the computer that's running your car. If you want to, like I say, depending on how nitpicky you want to get. But where does it go from there? Okay, it starts in the school zone. It's pretty soon, like I say, you're not even going to be able to listen to your radio because it's an electronic device and it could distract you from driving. I totally agree with Cliff that anything that takes your eyes off the road should be banned or at least regulated. Hands-free cell phones, no, because you know, you're not holding anything. You know, most of the phones have voice command. But
a problem with voice command is that it's so frustrating. Half the time it doesn't work, so half the time you're getting frustrated. And we have enough road rage and anger on the road. We don't need to have our telephones and our radios making us mad at the road as well. So we need to get rid of all of that stuff. Sorry.
But, again, the other thing, too, is the reason why they're putting this law in place. You know, the guy, it's unfortunate that somebody was struck in a hit-and-run driving, okay, and with a kid. I mean, that's so unfortunate. But I think we're just going to the extremes. I mean, just like the National Transportation Safety Board, there's a – if you go to my blog, for example, which is Robin's Nest, type in – just do a search for Robin Wonders, all one word, and you'll find it. I did an article where this they're focused – if you look at the picture – and look at the NTSB's explanation. They're blaming, it was a combination, as I'm trying to describe it here, a semi without a trailer was slowing down for a work zone. The pickup behind it was being driven by a 19-year-old who was texting And according to the investigation, there was 11 texts within 11 minutes. Okay, the kid did not see the semi slowing down and ran into the semi. Okay, it would have stopped there. Chances are the semi probably wouldn't have been damaged because at least the back ends of semis are pretty strong, and the airbags would have gone off on the pickup because it was a newer pickup, and there might have been minor injuries. But what also happened is that the school bus driver behind the pickup was not paying attention and rammed into the pickup at 55 miles an hour, rolled that little pickup into a ball and set it on top of the back of the semi, on top of the fifth wheel, and the bus landed on top of the semi's cab. And then there was a bus following it who ran into the first bus. Two people died, 20 people were injured. The National Safety Board is saying that because of this accident, we should ban all electronic devices. Now, that's not what happened. The guy texting did not cause this big accident. This accident would have happened anyway because whether the kid was texting or not, because the school bus driver wasn't paying attention to the fact that they were approaching a work zone and didn't slow down.
Has anybody found out why the school bus driver wasn't paying attention?
Yeah, he was.
Has anybody
it's kind of mixed. In one report, they said both buses had bad brakes, and the NTSB said that from their investigation, the buses were recently serviced, but they're questioning the quality of the service department. But the other report says that the driver was focused on a motorhome coming the other direction, and so really wasn't paying attention to where they were going.
Definitely sounds to me like it was the school bus drivers in both instances. If they were in a bus that they knew that the brakes weren't that good, then perhaps they should have been driving further back. I don't know. I really, really find this a major problem with our schools and our schools being given a free hand on everything. No matter what happens, the schools can't do any wrong. And I don't believe that. I mean, there's a lot of things that the schools screw up.
But my point is that the National Transportation Safety Board voted unanimously to recommend banning all electronic devices, anything that was not installed at the factory, from the vehicles. Now, fortunately, they have no power to regulate anything. They just have the power of recommendations. But my point here is that they, along with other agencies, would love to get rid of cell phones, would love to get rid of all, you know, the other stuff that goes on, to regulate the 99% where only 1% actually messes up. And they'll use any type of excuse, especially a tearjerker excuse, to try and do it. And like I said, if you look at the image and you actually read the facts, it doesn't support them wanting to ban all electronic devices, but that's how the way they're trying to swing it. And then when you read the comments, like I discovered this on CBSNews.com, the comments that they were making, that people were making to the article, were moderated, and CBS was only putting on comments there that supported their views for the electronic bans.
Well, I would have to go along with the electronic bans because I really don't believe that we should be doing all this electronic stuff in our car. To do it in your home is fine, to do it in your apartment or do whatever, but let's not, I mean, we don't need to be on the road. On the road, you need to spend your time and have your attention on what you're doing as far as driving. That is a 100% important thing to do, and you can't do it and dilute your time with that. But and even talking to someone on the phone, I understand many people do that and have done that, and millions of them do it and you get away with it and it's not a problem. But there is a lot of a problem with the fact that there are people who don't get away with it, and we shouldn't be allowing them to do it. Shut up. The fact is, We've got to get people paying attention to what they're doing driving, and they aren't doing that. They aren't paying attention to the main job of what you're doing when you're on the road, and that's driving. And if you're not paying attention to driving, then you're doing something wrong because you are endangering everyone. You can't drink while you drive, and for that matter, you really technically shouldn't even be eating while you drive, because you're taking your hands off the wheel. So we need to be more, much more attentive to making those rules. We need to be much more, and we've got to enforce those rules, because I believe there are rules about eating. There are rules about the things you can do when you're driving at the same time, but we don't pay any attention to
it. So I'll take you to the next step then. There was a couple of years back in Springfield, East Springfield, there was a kid that was a high schooler coming out one thought at a time, Robin. Leaving the high school, walked about five blocks down the road, was texting on their cell phone, had earbuds in both their ears listening to music, and it was dark outside. They're wearing dark clothes, without stopping to pay attention to traffic, and including where the traffic lights were, walked out into the roadway, got hit and killed. So we passed a law that you can't walk while texting, or you can't walk while listening to music.
Well, you see,
and most everybody else, supposedly, you were taught to stop and look both ways before crossing the street. I don't know if they still do that anymore. Sometimes I wonder. But you know, where do we draw the line of common sense versus trying to regulate common sense?
Well, the common sense, you're missing the point there. The common sense was not to have walked out onto the road unless you paid attention to what was going on, and he wasn't paying attention. So this, I'm sorry, the kid was in the wrong, ready or not, and it wasn't because he was texting, it wasn't because he was listening to the radio, it was because he didn't open his eyes and pay attention to the traffic on the street before he entered the street. That is something that if you look at any of your driver's manuals, they go over this over and over and over again. They stress this. You have to pay attention. You can't just jump out in front of a car and expect the car to stop from you. You can't just jump in front of a train and expect the train to stop for you. It just doesn't happen. Maybe he was trying to commit suicide. I don't know. But the point is, there is a point where the kid has to take responsibility for his life as well as everybody else. And you can't, this business of just being able to step out on the street anywhere, anytime, and traffic all has to come to a complete halt, that's being absurd.
Well, should we pass a law then that you can't text and walk?
No.
I mean, because according to what these guys want to do with everything else, one person does it, well, we need to pass the law to prevent anybody else from not using common sense.
All right, if you want to pass a law, let's pass the law this way. You can't walk in the street and text at the same time. You can make that law. If you want to walk on the sidewalk and text, that can be very, very well within your rights, because the car isn't supposed to be driving on the sidewalk. So, we've got laws already. You're not supposed to be doing anything while walking in the street.
Well, people do it. And apparently some people can't do it responsibly, so maybe we should pass a law that as you're walking, you can't be texting, you can't be listening to any electronic devices. In fact, let's take it further. How many injuries have happened in the past because of people walking, slipping, and falling? So maybe we should pass a law that if you go outside in the public, you have to wear knee pads and a helmet as you're walking.
Well, you don't want to get into that, because there are more deaths in your home today from falling than there is from anything.
There
so
you go. Then we bring that into the home as well. But you see where I'm going with all this?
But what do you – no, you're being absurd about it, is what you're being, as far as I'm concerned. That just doesn't make any sense at all. We do have
– it doesn't make any sense to put a ban just because all electronic devices, because what's the percentage of people that actually like truckers, for example, that actually do talk on the cell phone, use a hands-free, versus the ones that get into – to accidents. The percentage is very low, but yet you're trying to, because of one or two people out of millions that mess up, you're trying to regulate the millions instead of dealing with the individual problem or the one or two that actually caused the problem.
No, you're missing the point. The point is, like, once you're in the car, you're supposed to be paying attention to your driving. You're not supposed to be paying attention to anything else. That's already the logic. That's already the law. And there's no reason to pass more laws. You're already messing up if you're doing something else in the car other than driving. That's what you're supposed to be paying attention to, is your driving. Nothing else.
Oh, I agree with you there. But like I say, it depends on your distractions. But look at the other way. I mean, just like if you took radios out of the cars, you're going to see an increase in accidents because especially, you know, and I'm speaking from somebody that drives, you know, I drive 12 to 14 hours a day. And if I didn't have a radio in my truck, you know, they say, well, you'd be focused on the road. Well, you drive 14 hours. Well, I legally can't drive 14 hours, but my day can go 14 hours. You know, it gets to be very hard sometimes to try and stay awake. And when you're fighting against that 14-hour deadline, which the FMCSA puts us against, it can get to a point that you could be on the road and you really shouldn't be driving.
Well, then you're missing the point. You're passing the wrong law. The law should be that you can't drive 14 hours. The law should be that you can't go 14 hours without a full six-hour rest or something. The law needs to be changed to that part, not to the fact that you can leave you can talk. And I agree, we need to pull. I don't think we'd have more accidents if you pulled radios out of cars at all. That's not, if you've been in the car so long that you're getting sleepy, then you should get out of the car, not just listen to the radio. The radio is not going to keep you awake. I sleep to the radio every night, and it doesn't keep me awake. So consequently, that is not a good analogy at all. If you want to, you know, cut down on accidents totally, then make people pay attention to what they're doing, not to something else or dividing their attention. So, your law is wrong. The law should be that you can't drive that long. You can't spend that much time awake without a break.
Well, the law is that you can drive a maximum of 11 hours within a 14-hour period. But
then that's the wrong law.
What it should be changed, that you can't drive. You can't drive more than 11 hours, I agree, but you shouldn't have the 14-hour deadline. You should have that 10-hour break to reset it because I ran into this a couple weeks ago. I was actually coming up against that 14-hour rule, and I was getting tired. I needed to pull over. I could not pull over because the law forced me to continue driving because if I hit that 14-hour mark, I have to stop that vehicle right there and spend 10 hours in a day cab. Anywhere.
That's a lot of stress.
But that's what I'm saying is that I still had time on my 11-hour clock that if you didn't have the 14-hour deadline, well, you could pull over, take a nap, and continue with what's left in that 11 hours and have it and go until you have that either use up your 11 hours or you took a 10-hour break. Then I think that, personally, I think that would be a lot safer. But that's a topic for another day when we talk about the new hours of service regulations.
Yeah, we're running out of time right now. But that's the laws you need to adjust are those laws that are telling you can drive 11 hours or 14 hours or doing any of those things. That's the kind of thing. No one else is required to work that kind of hours. Everybody else, 8 hours is quite sufficient. So that you need to address different laws than what you're talking about.
And not allow new regulations to come out because something stupid. Anyways, we are out of time. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back again next Monday, 1 p.m. in the afternoon, Pacific time. And I hope you'll join us and join us on Facebook and send us an email, talk@caribbeanradio.com.
Have a good day.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the Like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.